Dr. Phillips retires in 1989.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about why he felt he needed to retire.
He was 66, I believe, or 67. And he just felt he had done what he could do. He was ready to pass the baton on to somebody else. I'm sure because I'd worked with him so long, he probably really hoped I would get the job and probably was influential some way in that. But he was ready, and I was too when I retired. I mean, you just reach a point, you say, well, I've been at this a long time. You know, being a president of college is usually about a five-year cycle nationally. So if you've been president, in his case, is almost 20 years, my case, 15 years, you've probably gone through three cycles of presidents in most colleges. I think he was just ready.
And then you became the president and CEO in 1989. That was a no-brainer, I'm sure, for Board of Regents and everybody else.
Well, you would have to ask them. They interviewed and went through a good process. We've had good boards, golly sakes.
So you're 51 years old when you become president.
Mm-hmm.
When was the name changed from Tulsa Junior College to Tulsa Community College?
In 1996. And I want to give a little credit where credit's due. Roger Randall suggested that. We were working on some legislation together. He said, Dean, why don't you change the name? You know, I'd have thought about it. You know, Roger had a pretty good legislative background, too. So we just put that in at that time. That's a good time to do it. Because nationally, all of them were being called community colleges.
Right. Even though we were a junior college concept idea in Oklahoma, that was not a pushback on that, I'm sure.
No, no.
When you become president then, did you have some new goals? I know one of them, one of your achievements, was the creation of the Performing Arts Center for Education.
Well, that was one of them. But sure, I had a lot of things that I knew I needed to do. We didn't have the West Campus. That's a whole other story in itself. I wanted to move us strongly into internet learning. In fact, today we may be one of the largest schools in the country using the internet. I saw the possibilities of that. And the reason for that, do you remember Peter Drucker?
The name?
Writer.
Mm-hmm.
He was a management guru, very highly respected by business throughout the world. He said that by 2030, one-third of the adult students will learn through internet or alternative learning. And I believed in that. Telecourses, I was involved in the beginning of those in Dallas. And I believed adults needed options. And what you wanted to make sure that you avoided is people thinking they could just grab a beer and sit back in their sofa and watch TV. Initially, we tried to talk them out of telecourses, required them all to come to campus. Said, look, we don't want you taking these courses. This thing's going to be a blow-off deal. And then we did the studies that compared how they did in those courses with others. They did just as well. That's still one of my big things, this anytime, anywhere learning, because I think that is it. In fact, in America, the other thing I read about early on was that half the people by 2000 would not be employed full-time. I think today in America, less than half people that are employed full-time. You might check me out on that. And they're having to update in their jobs or changing jobs regularly. Back then, I felt they would change jobs 7 times during their lifetime. Today, it may be more than that. So I felt we had to have an education system in place for these adults and women. There was no reason for not as many women going to college as men. They're just as bright. Boy, that changed the whole deal. I mean, our enrollment flipped from 60% male to 60% female because they were way behind in terms of the opportunities. There had to be a lot more choices for them because women, a lot of them were raising children. They were working outside the home. They were doing a lot of different things. And for them to go somewhere 5 days a week at 10 in the morning, that's pretty tough. So today, I think we now have enough things for the employers. Oh, and the other thing was, I remember we taught classes at McDonnell Douglas when they were here at midnight, on site for them. You got to take it anywhere, any place, anytime. To me, that's where education is today. The universities are basically there in a lot of ways. I remember the president of OU, when we opened, he spoke 2 weeks later at Rotary downtown to Al Phillips. Al Phillips talked to him about all these big dreams. He didn't share much of any of those dreams, you know, because his university wasn't doing much with evening classes.
Who was president then of OU?
Holloman, Dr. Holloman. I'm not putting him down. I'm just saying that pretty well reflected a lot of the thinking. But boy, you look at the universities today, I mean, they're out there teaching anywhere and everywhere, globally. And we had sister colleges, universities even back then. The second OSU president was part of that Point Four program with Truman, President Truman. That was way ahead of its time, I mean, in terms of a university. As a land-grant college, it was. But I think the college is really living with where it ought to be in terms of this global, any place, any time. Hey, if guys need to go somewhere in the military, they ought to be able to continue their learning while they're there at your institution.